good afternoon or good evening, wherever you be in the world. This is the Ralph Winterroad Show. This is Ralph Kermit Winterroad II, coming to you live out of Alaska, true seeker of the far north. Nice cloudy day up in Alaska. We're turning some of that white stuff into water. It's amazing how that works. Man, I love that. It's 9 hours and 37 minutes up from 5.5 hours. So we're doing great up here in Alaska. We've went from 5.5 to 9.5 hours, so that's really great. So anyway, going to have in a minute here, we're going to have a guest today. I'm really honored to have a guest today of Dr. Judy Wood, and we're going to talk about the 911 issue, the real facts of what's going on here. We're probably getting ready to go into break here because we're about running out of time, so I'll bring Dr. Judy Wood in on right after break here, but it's going to be some astounding information based on facts, not what you're hearing out there in the media, not what you're seeing in the DVDs, and it's amazing that somebody of Dr. Judy Wood's caliber in academia is coming out to expose what's going on, what the real answers are based on facts. Not on I know or a bunch of nonsense. And I contacted her the other day here because I saw where ABC said they'd got this 2,779 photos or something just released on a FOIA. And I was unaware of the issues on that. And Dr. Judy Wood's going to talk about that, talk about the hurricane that people don't know anything about, whether explosives were used, how this building supposedly, how could it come down at the speed of gravity, where's the debris, how did these cars that are many hundreds or thousands of feet away, how did they get damaged? So anyway, when we come back after break, we're going to bring Dr. Judy Wood on, and we're going to get some real answers today. Stay tuned. Well, we're back from break here, and the guest today is going to be Dr. Judy Wood. She's a professor of mechanical engineering. I've offered a bio page here, research interest in experimental stress analysis, structural mechanics, optical methods, deformation analysis, material characterization of biomaterials and composite materials. She's a member of the Society for Experimental Mechanics, SEM. Founded that. She's received a BS in civil engineering, an MS in engineering mechanics, applied physics, a PhD in materials engineering science. She's taught classes on experimental stress analysis, engineering mechanics, mechanics of materials, strength of materials, strength of materials testing. My goodness. Wow. Welcome to the show, Judy. Are you there?
Yes. Thank you for having me.
Well, Dr. Wood, it's really great to have you on, somebody that's of your caliber that's taken on an issue of this 911 to get to the real facts here. And what I'd like to do is just ask you just a few real short questions and then basically let you take this show where we need to go to put out the facts and the evidence here. First of all, whether it's Twin Towers destroyed by airplanes that struck the building?
I haven't even established whether airplanes struck the building. So airplanes did not destroy the buildings.
Okay, airplanes. That's a better way to put it. So, and the airplanes was fire the reason why the buildings were destroyed?
Nope.
Explosives?
Nope. Well, it depends on how you term explosives. Things suddenly, you know, disintegrating. Is that an explosive? Or it's not conventional explosives.
Okay, that's a better way to put it. See, you're correcting me here. I'm learning something in my terminology here. was there a large amount of the debris missing from the buildings when they after they were destroyed on the ground?
Yes, at least 80%, approximately, if not, you know, a lot more. You could say, you know, 90-95%, but then people will argue over, you know, significant digits, but at least 80%.
Has anybody ever attempted to explain where that material, that debris went?
Not with any rational type of explanation.
Has anybody ever dealt with the cars that were damaged and by all of these, I don't know what to call it, weird phenomena that are hundreds or thousands of feet away from the building? Has anybody ever attempted to deal with that?
Not with any rational explanation.
How about this level 3 hurricane that was outside right off the shores of New York City? Has anybody attempted to say anything about that?
No, not even ABC News that morning.
Oh, my goodness. Well, if we didn't get on ABC News, it probably never happened. Well,
I looked at the archives from, the radio broadcast that morning at 8:30, just before anything unusual happened, and I looked at the weather reports of all the main networks, and some mentioned, rough seas, but everything's fine, nothing to worry about. ABC didn't even acknowledge there was a cold front, a high-pressure system moving in, or that there was a hurricane coming from the other direction.
And it's a level 3. It isn't just a little teeny guy. It's something that could cause a great amount of destruction or rain or whatever, couldn't it?
Correct. It's lots of storm surges. That's the biggest thing. If it isn't that the hurricane's going to come ashore, but if you have a hurricane stalled off the coast, just sitting there, you're going to get horrible storm surges, flooding. Like Manhattan is right at sea level. So what is a high water level going to do to Manhattan?
And nobody wants to talk about it.
Right.
Well, I contacted you here just recently because ABC put out a release that 2,779 photos had just been released on a FOIA. Would you like to comment on that?
Yes. The photos that they have posted are photos that have been on my website for at least 4 years. And they're also part of legal action I've taken. So it's sort of mind-boggling why ABC was not interested in the photos while they're on my website, or the fact that I challenged NIST using those photos. I also submitted a QI-TAM case and appealed it to a higher court, and also submitted it to the Supreme Court, which was just recently decided upon. And then, miraculously, right after that, ABC comes out with this announcement. And all this makes you wonder if they had to keep a lid on anybody noticing those photos before the case was decided.
Yeah, except the decision was we're not going to address it. Is that not true?
Correct. And if ABC had come out with this blasting story that went all over the globe, I don't think it would have been swept under the carpet.
So the bottom line is we have, you may call this conspiracy, or for my world, the fix is in. They didn't want to let the world know that these photos were in existence, because then it would call attention to your suit where you're trying to bring this forward and say, hey, looky here. I have facts. This is something that needs to be dealt with.
Well, we can't know for sure, but the timing is quite shocking. We're talking about this case has gone on for almost 3 years, and then is denied, and then like a week later, they come out with this, big announcement.
And nobody in the media dealt with this case going on, did they?
Nope, not at all.
Isn't that amazing? Something that's as important as what you're doing. Say, look, I got facts, folks. Would you like to know the facts? And I've got my name attached to it. And here's the lawsuit. And nobody, shh, quiet. And then all of a sudden, it finally gets denied on the writ of certiorari, and all of a sudden, ABC says, oh, my God, we just found these photos. Wow!
Somebody on a forum pointed out that the set that I have on my website is more original than what ABC posted. Mine have the original information of, what shutter speed and all that that's embedded in the photos.
Mm-hmm.
So they're the original untouched photos. ABC released doctored photos. I'm not
really?
Saying fraudulently doctored, but they have watermarks on them. They have the photographer's name and, you know, affiliations and things added. Once you add something to a photo and resave it, it's no longer the original.
That's true. Yeah, so if we have no idea. So anyway, and I sent out on the email list your web pages and stuff, and we're going to address that down the road here. This photo, because I sent you this one photo, and you call it, I think, a bubbler, but I think that photo is one of the most astounding photos of this could not have happened.
Hey, right on. That's the star of the show there. I call it a bubbler. In the Midwest, that's the term for a drinking fountain.
Uh-huh.
And it looks like a drinking fountain made out of dust.
Yeah.
The dust is shooting up and out like a drinking fountain would, like a bubbler.
Yeah. How does cement obtain the viscosity or another? That's not the correct word here. Correct me. What's the word here to where it acts like water or something?
That is actually the key to how this all kind of came undone for me. That I've been dealing with this myth of the molten metal in the basement story, and said, uh-huh. Wait a minute, if there's molten metal in the basement, then any of the fire hoses would have caused a steam explosion. You know, you don't store molten metal at the bottom of your swimming pool.
Not recently.
And there was a water main that broke on West Street that afternoon. It was a lake, and guys were out wading, you know, across the lake there. They didn't look like boiled chickens. You know, it was a flood.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what's this deal with the molten metal? And then I was thinking more about water when it turns to steam. It expands by 1,600 times in volume. That's why, you know, the top of your pressure cooker wants to shoot off.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually caused the problem with Chernobyl, is the steam explosion.
Really?
Is water suddenly becoming too hot and needing to expand, and it caused an explosion.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was looking at the photo of Tower 2. The top starts tipping over, mm-hmm. and right at the hinging point is these billowing cauliflower things that look like a steam explosion. Like, okay. The building looks like it's, you know, the solid material looks like it's undergoing the same kind of process where all the molecules suddenly need more room. They need to get away from each other and are repelling each other.
Uh-huh.
And it isn't like a conventional explosion. You know, if it was a bomb, bombs shoot things at like, you know, the speed of sound and above in speed. Uh-huh. This wasn't audible. There's no sound. So already it's not, you can tell it's not a conventional explosion. It's just stuff needing more room and needing to spread out and expand.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So what would cause the molecules, instead of attracting to each other, they suddenly repel each other? And I started looking up things from there, and I stumbled upon this site where every single one of the phenomena I had listed matched.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that was a wild day. And that was the website of John Hutchison, who fiddles, he doesn't like the word tinker, but it's often used to describe what he does. He basically experiments with reproducing the work of Nikola Tesla on the countertop with an apartment full of old vacuum tube equipment. And
hold this. I hear the music coming in. We've got to take a break, pay some more bills, and stay tuned, folks. This is going to be an enlightening 2 hours. Okay, we're back from break here, and I've got Dr. Judy Wood here. And go ahead. You're explaining what you found to explain what was happening at the 911 towers.
Yes. Mind you, this is after, you know, several years of just looking at the evidence. My philosophy is, if you don't know what happened, listen to the evidence. It'll tell you exactly what happened. If you don't know, just keep listening more and more. And I just kept looking through the evidence, and, you know, I didn't force it into any cubby holes. I just looked at what the evidence was telling me. And that's how I came to where I had, and that final link was looking at the buildings that looked like turning into to a type of steam or an analogous procedure.
Right.
And if you look at it, the clouds billow out and they get bigger and bigger and bigger. That doesn't happen with controlled demolitions.
No. I've seen videos of those. It's nothing like a controlled demolition at all.
And another interesting thing about it, if it was a collapse, you have floors banging on the others, you have material hitting other material, and that's what would cause, you know, floors to shatter or whatever, and you'd get dust. It wouldn't be 100% dust, but you'd get something. But in order to have that happen, you have to have high resistance for one floor to slam into another one. So the lower floor has to be rigidly strong and sitting there to let the other one smack against it. And if it does that, it's slowing down the motion. The building went away in less time than it would take to drop a bowling ball off the roof and have it hit the pavement.
So that's physically impossible because it's going to be slowed down before it tears the next floor loose.
Correct. And the time to drop a billiard ball off the roof down to the pavement, neglecting air resistance, is 9.22 seconds. That's free fall.
Mm-hmm.
The ground shook for 8 seconds in the case of Building 1. There wasn't enough time for it to hit the ground.
Now, that's a pretty astounding phenomena. Now, ooh.
Yeah. And if you have buildings supposedly slamming down on each other, you'd have a jackhammer pounding on the pavement. So you should have vibrations that whole time.
Mm-hmm.
This, and if you had a bomb going off, breaking every single joint, and you have to have that material slammed to the ground, it still has to reach the ground. What this evidence shows, the fact that the ground only shook for 8 seconds, says that that building did not come to the ground in chunks at all. It didn't slam to the ground. Had it slammed to the ground, it would have destroyed the foundation it was on.
So there's either something... Some of the material vanished, or something's pushing it down quicker than the speed of gravity?
But it didn't impact the ground, according to the seismic evidence. Some of it did, but only the equivalent of the lower 18 or 20 stories.
Well, that raises an interesting question. Where did it go?
You see the fuming? I don't call it smoke. I don't call it dust. If I don't know what it is, I give it a generic name so I don't bias my observations. I call it fumes. The fumes that came up from ground zero for the next 3 months, actually 6 months, actually 6 years, it's still ongoing, which is why they're having a problem rebuilding there.
There's still fumes coming up 6 years
later?
I
don't know about fumes. When I was there in January 2008, you could see them bring in new dirt, stir it around, scoop it up, haul it out, bring in new dirt. And that's been going on for quite a while. And the dirt, when the grapplers would dig around in it, it looked like somebody hit a puffball and poof, up would come, you know, this white powdery stuff.
Wow.
And they had folks in hazmat suits directing traffic.
Wow.
That was interesting.
Years later, they got people in hazmat suits?
Yes. And building Bankers Trust, which was right across the street from Tower 2,
mm-hmm.
That is the one that had that big gash in the front.
Yeah.
They repaired the gash, and then they started taking it apart, dismantling the building. Why would they repair it to take it apart?
Illogical.
When they had removed several floors down to that damage zone, the rust on the beams looked like they'd been at the bottom of the ocean for 100 years. Incredible amounts of degradation of the steel.
Mm-hmm.
And it appears to be an ongoing process.
So whatever happened there then is still got there's still things happening that hasn't seen the finalization.
As of last summer, I think only about half of Bankers Trust had been removed. It still has half the, you know, this has been 8 years then. Now it's 8.5 years. Why can't they dismantle it in that amount of time?
Wow, you mean dismantle it to fix it or dismantle it to take it down?
To take it down, to build something else there. They can't even dismantle it.
Oh, wow, astounding. We'll be back in a minute. Stay tuned. This is like Star Wars, sort of.
Except it's real, yep.
Oh, we didn't even plan that one.
Right.
We'll be back in a minute. Stay tuned. Well, we're back from break here and talking to Dr. Judy Wood about 911. Absolutely astounding information, Judy. Dr. Wood, I don't. This bank, are you telling me they're trying to tear the building down 8 years later and they haven't accomplished that?
They've been working on it for quite a few years. They keep having, you know, some kind of a story, you know, ongoing, amazing saga. You remember the fire that was in August 2007? And they had another time where somebody dropped a pipe on the 10 and 10 firehouse. Another time when the workers walked off the job because they weren't being paid. There's just like all this ongoing stuff associated with it that delays, you know, nice excuses for delays upon delays. But it's, when I was there last summer, it was had like, you know, at least 20 stories remaining.
Well, that's pretty amazing. They get around and the Twin Towers are destroyed, whatever the word is there, vanish, and by some means in a matter of less than one day, and they're still working 8 years later on one building?
Right, because it's something's left of it. Who knows what we could speculate on, you know, whether it was planned or not planned or whatever the story is, but it seems like it's going to be a record breaker for the amount of time to dismantle a building.
Wow, I should talk to the people that got whatever happened to the other two. We could get it done in a matter of hours or minutes, maybe.
Right.
And what's this issue with the steel? You said the steel is all oxidized or something?
Yes. The steel, one thing I noticed, another symptom of the whole thing, is that the steel rusted sort of instantaneously.
In the building?
You're talking about on there, but also at the leftovers of the World Trade Center. But yeah, on the... in that same region where they'd repaired it, it was very rusted. I call it furry rust. It was just really fuzzy looking. Like somebody had sprayed fuzzy orange fur all over it. Just really thick rust.
And that's not normal for iron or for steel.
For steel. You made a good point there. It's normal for iron, but not for steel.
Yeah.
So how did we have steel turning into iron?
That's another good question, isn't it?
Steel is 99% iron, but it has other doodads in it, mainly carbon and some other additions that improve its structural properties, its rust resistance, and its strength. If you remove those, you have iron. So how do you get the molecules to let go of the other ones?
And nobody's ever addressed that question yet either, I bet, have they?
I've looked at it, but other than myself, I don't think there's anyone else.
Mm-hmm. So we have all these things that nobody can explain, and nobody wants to touch it with a 10-foot pole.
Yep, that you've got it. And every single one of these weird phenomena seem to be reproducible with the work of Tesla.
Now, how did Tesla fit into this? Can you explain that to the audience?
Tesla's been, you know, 100 years ago and had experimented with a lot of different physics. an unusual physics, something we're not taught in school. That Tesla is who we owe alternating current to. He came up with some pretty interesting things, including wireless transmission of power. And there were some other things he'd come upon, and he decided, you know, for free energy to the world, but he thought that if he implemented that, it would fall into the wrong hands, and it would be used for evil. And now that we see it has ended up in the wrong hands and has been used for evil, I think we should use it for good. There's no risk.
So how does that, what are you alluding to here?
The technology that was used on 9/11 is capable of providing free energy to the planet.
Boy, that's going to raise a lot of opposition.
Yep. Why do you think it needs to be covered up so badly?
Because we can't have people with free energy, because we would be free. We would have liberty again. And these oil companies and all these people that control us daily would lose their control, wouldn't they? And their money.
He who controls the energy controls the people.
Yeah. Wow. Is it wide knowledge that these directed energy weapons is that what we can tag this to for 9/11 exist?
It's now becoming more people are becoming more aware of the conventional directed energy weapons now, like the microwave use on crowd control. They call it that, the active denial system. And also the airborne laser to shoot down whatever it wants to shoot down. But if you think about it, don't you think this kind of technology would be developed in secrecy?
Oh, absolutely.
And we had this Reagan Star Wars program for so long. What do you think they developed in that program?
I don't even know if my imagination could comprehend what they may have done.
And what do you think other countries were developing also?
Heaven help us.
It isn't just this country. I don't know who did 9/11. I honestly don't.
Mm-hmm.
And as I like to say, I don't believe our government is responsible for executing the events of 9/11, nor do I believe our government is not responsible. It's not a case of belief.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have enough information to know, but the first step of it all is to figure out what happened before you go to how it happened and who done it and why they done it and, you know, all the other things. First thing is, what got done?
Absolutely, I agree. Get the facts. What got done? Because how are you ever going to arrive at a logical conclusion of the other?
The example I like to give is somebody who murders someone. They charge him with murder by gunshot from shooting somebody to death. They haul him into court. It turns out the guy killed the victim, but with poison. The body doesn't have any bullet holes in it.
Uh-huh.
So what you do by bringing him into court for shooting him to death is you give him life free. You know, he doesn't ever get charged again due to double jeopardy.
Uh-huh.
You only get one bite of that apple.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't charge somebody with a crime, with the wrong crime. You have to know what crime they even committed. So I definitely do not buy into the 9/11 was an inside job chant, because that implies that you know who done it and how they done it.
Mm-hmm. And we can't even get anybody to actually look at the real facts of how it was done.
Right. Right, and something else I find a little bit concerning is this truth movement that claims to want a new investigation, and they want justice, truth and justice, but had no interest in the QTAM case that I had ongoing for 3 years. What's wrong with this picture? Yeah.
That there tells you a whole bunch. All of a sudden, because I've heard these word truthers, and I just presumed there's another presumption with no facts.
Mm-hmm.
I presume that they would be extremely interested in the facts and in your quitam case.
No, they like to actually hide it.
Wow.
Don't need to go into that so much more, but there's a whole lot riding on this. It's not as simple as it looks. You think that, you know, the perpetrators would allow, you know, themselves to be found out so easily?
No, not going to happen.
You think there's going to be a cover-up?
Always.
And what's that cover-up going to look like?
Looks like we got 14,000 different things going on, so nobody can ever get pointed in the right direction for where the facts lie.
Or they can cover up the real story.
Yes.
And what happened with JFK was the same thing.
Yep.
Until it's water on the bridge and nobody cares anymore.
Yeah, but the only problem is that whoever has control, or whatever entity or entities have control of this, has at their fingertips such amount of power, it boggles the mind.
Yep. They can justify somebody anytime they want.
There's some videos, I think, on your homepage, isn't there, of steel girders just turning into dust?
Yep. Yeah, and you can see that the moment which the sharp outline of the steel is no longer sharp. It's just fuzzy haze.
Just kind of goes away.
Yep. And I think the energy might even come from the material itself.
Where do you think this is? This something that would be tied in, that would have significance with a hurricane, or is it something tied in also from space, or...
Well, the fact that the hurricane was real hushed, and they didn't warn anybody in New York City that they might want to think about evacuating. You know, when Hurricane Rita was aimed towards Houston, it didn't reach Houston, but it was aimed that direction, they gave people 2-3 days notice to pack up and move out of town.
Uh-huh.
And people were driving, you know, north or inland or somewhere.
Uh-huh.
If you have New York City at sea level, and you have this hurricane for 4 days making a beeline straight to New York, you know it's going to encounter a high-pressure cold front, but you don't know exactly where and if it's going to stall out and exactly where it's going and what it's doing.
Uh-huh.
You don't know unless you can control it.
And it was there during this time, and then what happened after 9-1-1?
It made a beeline to New York, was approximately the closest, at 8 a.m. the morning of 9/11. It stalled out, and then that afternoon it made a U-turn and started heading out of town.
So it went straight out to sea away from New York?
Correct. It made like a 110-degree turn.
Go ahead.
Pardon me?
Go ahead.
It's approximately 500 miles in diameter.
Mm-hmm.
Big, huge thing. It was right off the coast. It, you know, was within range of Washington, D.C. and of New York City. And all along the Jersey shore, you know, there'd be concern for storm surges for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And the outer bands of it were over Cape Cod. And over the tip of Long Island. It was that close. I actually have a photo on my website where you can see that it's a picture looking, east, from up in the air, looking at the towers fuming, and you can see the hurricane off in the distance.
Wow. And so you think there may be some correlation of the energy or something with that, with what happened at 9-1-1?
Well, again, we start with the evidence, and the evidence is a one-to-one correlation with John Hutchison's reproducing of Nikola Tesla's work. And so how does he do it? He makes a static field with a Van de Graaff generator or a Tesla coil, and then interferes with that field, another type of energy, like radio frequency, microwaves, or other signals, and gets this weird effect. if you can direct the, one portion of it within this larger field, that's being able to direct the effects. And
now,
if you were going to supersize that, and, what John Hutchison does, you would need a humongous Tesla coil or Van de Graaff generator.
Uh-huh.
Well, what's a hurricane?
Well, I don't know what a Tesla coil is, but I used to, when I was in physics, a Van de Graaff generator is a thing that grabs a static up and puts it on a ball on a belt.
Right, the belt is sliding over things and takes electrons from one place to another, and it creates a static field around it.
Mm-hmm.
People notice when a storm is coming. People with arthritis often talk about feeling the weather change.
Mm-hmm.
You can feel a storm coming. Why? Because it creates an electrical field ahead of the storm,
mm-hmm.
outside of where the clouds actually are. In Manhattan, on 9/11, or surrounding Manhattan on 9/11, the three major airports, LaGuardia, JFK, and Newark airports, all three of them reported thunder on 9/11.
Okay.
That's evidence of field effects.
Mm-hmm.
You get thunder ahead of a storm because you have an electrical potential between the, think of this pie plate on the top and the ground. There's a difference, and so you get arcing between the two.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they recorded thunder at those three airports indicates that indeed that the field effects from the hurricane extended that far.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. That sounds logical.
So I believe that is the use of the hurricane. It's a static field generator.
Okay, and then so there had to be some other, if Hutchison, then there's some other sort of another source that interfered with that to be able to direct it or something and to make it do what it did then?
Right. With Hutchison stuff, it's radio frequency signals or microwave signals.
Now, what sort of things has he been able? Has he, was it levitation things? Is it things vanishing, turning into dust? What has he been able to do?
Oh, another one of the things, when the light bulb went on for me and I stumbled upon his site, I'd never heard of him before, and saw all of these things, and I started reading something about it that said, lift or disruption. Well, by golly, that's what we have in the cars. I couldn't figure it out why the cars that were upside down were almost in pristine condition. Where the cars that were right side up were toasted looking. I mean by toasted, destroyed, not fixable anymore. They're totaled, history, they're toast. and that's where it came from. It's just my generic word for it. It's toast. It does look a little bit cooked, but we don't know what, if it was a true fire or what it was that caused it. But the car, there's one picture where there's an SUV that's toasted, and the car in front of it is upside down, in its parking space, but upside down. It's in pristine condition, like it's off the showroom floor.
Yeah, hold that thought here. Man, it's okay, we'll be back in just a minute. Stay tuned. And before we hit the top of the hour, these cars, I've looked at the pictures that you've got on your home page, and some of them are all, they're just toasted. I mean, they just like they've had a fire. There's some of them that's like they had a fire, but that only part of the car is affected. And then there's some of them, right, like you were talking about, there's one upside down, nothing happened, and there's another one right next to it that's got part of it toasted. And then how far away are these from the site?
From right next to it to a half mile away over by the East River.
So half a mile away, cars are being affected by something that happened way the heck over yonder?
Yep, on the total opposite side of Manhattan. The World Trade Center is on the Hudson River, and over in the East River on the opposite side of Manhattan is where these cars were under FDR Drive.
How many cars total do you think were affected?
They reported 1,400, and that's, of course, the number of cars remaining that you could count.
So how does 1,400 cars have anything to do with what happened to the World Trade Building if it, quote, came down by explosion, airplane, or fire?
Exactly. And how many cars? And how many cars can you park next to the World Trade Center?
Well, it's going to be, they're going to have them tiered up there. They must have had a parking garage there.
Well, they have a parking garage underneath, but I've got a recording from that where a rescue worker says, anybody down there, 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 and it echoes like a big empty cave.
So what's that? What are we looking at here again?
Let's compare back with the Hutchison effect. He gets lift or disruption. Not lift and disruption. Lift or disruption. And I think that's the result of a field effect. Before we get too far, let me make a strong point here. When I say directed energy weapons, I'm talking about energy that can be directed and is used as a weapon. I'm not talking about lasers from outer space.
Okay.
This is something that, you know, has been used for disinfo campaign often, and it confuses people. I don't know what else to call this and categorize it as, other than it's an energy weapon that can be directed, so it falls under directed energy weapons.
Okay.
And so if you have an energy field that varies, it makes sense, if you think about it, that if something is in the middle of the field, it's going to get toasted. If it's on the edge of the field, it may fly away.
Okay, so that explained why some of them were nothing happened, except they just kind of levitated or flipped over or something.
Right. It threw stuff in the air. Like, you can do a physics demonstration with an inductive coil for making a magnet in a magnetic field,
mm-hmm.
and put it around a soda pop can. The can will collapse in and crush.
Mm-hmm.
And collapse and you know, kind of be destroyed. If the can is on the edge of that field, the can will fly out into the room somewhere and only be damaged when it bounces off of something and hits something.
Okay, is there some correlation between if it's toasted and or partially toasted that it would be upright, or would we see toasted and or partially toasted and then also maybe turned over, or is there any correlation there?
If it's totally toasted, we don't see it anymore. If it's, you know, at the edge of the, you know, of the affected zone, there's going to be, you know, some stuff that's toasted and some stuff that's flipped.
Mm-hmm.
And tossed. And you know, what we have left, you know, at the end of the day at ground zero is stuff that was on the edge of the affected zone.
Okay, I hear the music. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a minute. Boy, this is absolutely astounding. You're not going to hear this in mainstream media. Back in a minute.
Nope.
Well, we're back from break here. This is the second hour, February 21st, and I am honored to have as a guest today Dr. Judy Wood with Evidence. What a novel idea.
I thought it had gone out of style.
Yeah, I think it probably has. I mean, in the legal world, I mean, in everything we see, where's the evidence? Where's the facts?
Where's the beef?
Where's the beef? Yeah, no kidding. You know, where's the beef? And anyway, I'm very honored to have her here. And we were talking about the these cars that some are toasted. They look like they've been burned or rusted or something. And then it's like part of them, though, it hasn't been touched. Some of them are upright. And then there's a whole bunch of them that are toasted. And then we see them maybe up to a half mile away that have been flipped over. I mean, there's no way this could be anything to do with an explosion, a fire, or an airplane. It's impossible. And nobody wants to talk about it, do they?
Exactly. It when you start looking at it, just open your eyes, it becomes very clear that what you see is something that you've never seen before.
Well, that main picture that you have on your, that's the one that just struck me. I look at that picture, and it's like somebody is pushing down on the building. And it, you call it a bubbler or a water fountain. And so we got fumes going. We got all of a sudden this dust just magically takes off heading upward. And then we got this cement looking like it's water or something. I mean, it's just like you pushed a hand down and it just, looky here, it's a big water. It's a big fountain. Unbelievable.
I've got a Cliff Notes page on my website. It's drjudywood.com/WTC. And at the beginning of that, there's a video, a couple YouTube video clips, where you see solid parts of the building flying through the air that are like ice cream melting, and they don't hit the ground.
I'll give that web page out of that site again.
DrJudyWood.com, that's DrJudyWood, one word, .com/WTC, all lowercase.
And so you've got pictures there of the cement that is heading out into the air, and then somehow it doesn't make it to the ground?
It's not cement, everything. It's the outer structures. They came in prefabricated units of 3 stories tall by 3 columns wide. I call those wheat checks because they kind of look like wheat checks. Mm-hmm. And you see the wheat checks flying through the air, and you don't see them hit the ground. They just turn into dust. They're streaming an enormous amount of dust through the air. It's because they're losing their body.
And where is it going?
Goes away. And the picture on the left side, right below the video, I have a picture right after people come out of their hiding places, walking into that intersection where the wheat checks were headed. And you only see paper on the ground.
Wow. Let's get back to that question, too, when we get back. And we got a call or two. Hold on just a minute. We'll be back in a minute. Amazing. Okay. Well, we're coming back from break here. We're going to take some callers, but I got one question, Dr. Wood. I am astounded by that picture on your book. This is cement or concrete, not cement.
And steel. And everything.
And it looks like it's just bubbling over, or it's going up in fumes, like it's been it's dustified. I guess I don't know if that's a word.
It now is.
Yeah. How can this be? I mean, this is not possible. I mean, these are hard materials. I mean, they're not soft. I mean, they're hard.
It's obviously a phenomenon we haven't seen before. And it has been reproduced in the lab.
And that's but the Hutchison effect?
Yes. And that is something that is not classified. That's the wonderful part about John Hutchison's work. It's out there and he's sharing it.
Has he been able to make or to demonstrate dustification or things vanishing or whatever the word would be here?
Yes. It turns to powder sometimes. Sometimes things fly across the room. Sometimes they levitate. Sometimes they break. You know, there's different things that happen.
Tesla was one smart guy, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. And he really did want to give free energy to the world.
Wow, wouldn't that be just absolutely astounding if we had free energy in the world?
No reason to fight or kill or have wars.
Wow. Wow, this is just astounding. Would you take some callers?
Sure.
Okay, guy in Arkansas, you have a question that's on point here for what we're talking about, or a comment, short comment?
Yes, good evening, Ralph, absolutely. And good evening, Dr. Woods. I'd like to give you a compliment. Thank you for your dedication to the ongoing research to expose the evidences of the truth of what's going on there.
Thank you so much.
Well, it's my pleasure to talk with you tonight. I've got three points here. Number one, probably on some other radio station I heard you, and I called in and I think I told you about C4. Do you recall anybody calling you and talking about C4 and gravity waves?
C4, did you say?
Yeah, there's another gal that's out there that's on 9/11 too. But I had heard from a semi-scientist that C4 produces gravity waves, and that is one explanation as to why the buildings fell so fast, is because it created a suction type of action. That's one point, and you can take that wherever it may lead you. My other point is that with this, with 1,400 cars in such an array of some upside down, some toasted, where is the street evidence? Where's all the testimony from the people on the streets that says, yeah, I was standing there, and all of a sudden this car just lifted up and just slammed on down, and this one went poof in the flames. Boy, it would be nice to hear, and not that I'm doubting any of this. Obviously, I'm not, because I've seen your pictures on your website, and they're phenomenal in itself, but we need these testimonies of these eyewitnesses that actually seen this action, and I haven't heard anything of that nature as yet.
Oh, there are some of those, some testimony of people being lifted up and carried. There's one in particular I think of is David Hensha, who was a photographer. And he talked about being carried about a block.
Oh, no kidding. Is this on your website? Because I must have missed it.
I'll put some links to it. Andrew Johnson has posted some videos, video clips showing these kind of things. There's a news guy, New York Post, guy talked about being lifted up and thrown against the wall.
Oh, I'd love to investigate those websites. If you can put them out, I'd really appreciate it. And wouldn't you know it, I drew a blank on number three.
Sorry.
Okay, well, why don't you address explosive C4 issue.
Go ahead, Doctor. I'll wait until you comment on C4. I just remembered what it was, so go ahead.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, the other point was that, the powderization of these hard materials that you're talking about, the steel, the concrete, et cetera, is testimony in itself as to the energies that were needed to produce metals and to go into a powderized form. And there is a clip out there, and I've seen it. It's a very profound clip, and I if you don't have it in your archives, or I mean in your evidence file, you really should seek it out and find it. But there's a very short clip of about five or seven floors of the very outside skin of one of the towers that had gone down just minutes after it had finally settled. And this whole structure starts to collapse on itself, starts falling apart. And before it hits the ground, it's in powdered form. It's an amazing piece of evidence demonstrating this this exotic technology that you're trying to explain as to why these hard materials have powderized. And I'll just leave it at that. I thank you both for your program and your inputs, and I'll take all your comments off here. Thank you, Ralph.
Thank you.
Thanks. Let's see. As for the energy, there's often a misconception that people, you know, decide that it's vaporized. Well, that's a specific procedure, and there's no evidence of vaporization. Vaporization takes high temperatures and so forth, so calculating how much energy it takes for vaporization is irrelevant here. You have to know what process you're using in order to calculate the amount of energy. But from what I've seen is the energy seems to come from the material itself. If you think about molecular bonds, if you flip the switch, what does it do to the energy that was holding those together?
Well, if you can make them come apart, this is the thing of a nuclear bomb.
That it releases energy in doing that.
Uh-huh.
There's no heat involved in this. You saw the dust clouds roll down the street. They rolled over the people who were trying to outrun them, and they left the people covered with dust. They didn't leave cooked bodies.
Well, there were things that looked like fire, and it didn't burn.
Ah, that's another thing of the Hutchison effect. Luminescence without heat.
So it looks like fire, or you call it luminescence, but it's not what we'd call fire, where it's going to heat us up and burn us or something.
The weird fires. But here's another thing to consider. Things that are hot glow, but not all things that glow are hot. Consider the difference between an incandescent light bulb and a fluorescent light bulb.
Okay.
One, you have resistance heating of a filament that heats up the light, that makes the light from the incandescent lamp. Mm-hmm. And it's a different process for the fluorescent tube.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
It's a different kind of energy excitation.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have profound heat coming out of the thing. You can unscrew the bulb in your hands without worrying about cooking your hands.
That's right.
So it is beyond our own experience that you can have luminescence without heat.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of another interesting thing.
Now, another thing to be that people should be aware of, these photos were government photos, and different. These are not photos you took, right?
Correct. They're taken from a police helicopter.
Great.
And they've been around a while. I've known them as GJS. Now I know who GJS is, and I thank him for taking them. They've been very informative. They are wonderful pictures, but they have been around a while. And they remain part of the legal case. Yeah, and that bubbler image is just, there's no way you can explain that.
No, I can't. That's why it looks like water.
Yeah, drinking fountain.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, you're not related, you're not in any way tied into Beam Me Up, Scotty, are you?
No.
Oh, God,
no,
this is unbelievable.
Just, and you see these pieces of stuff flying through the air. Air resistance isn't going to make them turn to powder. They aren't slamming it. You know, there's no resistance that they're slamming against. So what's making them turn to powder?
Yeah. That blows all the explosive and all those other theories right out the door, because it's physically can't be done.
This comes to the first question about gravity waves. Well, I think there is some weird things that happen with gravity and anti-gravity and so forth with this type of technology. But as for C4, that's an explosive. There's so many reasons why that wouldn't work. You didn't have any big bangs. Nothing hit the, you know, slammed to the ground. Or nothing significant.
Uh-huh.
So if you talk about, you know, cranking up the knob on gravity and have things go to the ground faster, you would have a bigger bang on the ground, not a smaller one.
You got any comments about this thermite or nanothermite or whatever it is? Is that possible that they mix that in to confuse the issue, or is
it's an interesting scheme of a cover story, because the buildings were made out of thermite or thermitic material. Notice they didn't say thermite; they said thermitic material in their paper. Thermitic material. Thermitic material is, you know, some of the ingredients to make thermite with, which is aluminum dust and iron oxide, which is rust. If you get a building that's made out of steel, powderized, you're going to have iron dust, and it has aluminum cladding on it, so you're going to have aluminum dust. So all this says is that the buildings were dustified. If the buildings are dustified, you'd have something seriously wrong if you didn't have aluminum and iron dust, and iron oxide dust in your dust baggie.
So what they're doing is they're playing a word game on us, the public, that don't have a clue.
And they're keeping people they're distracting them from looking at the real issue, which is the building was turned to nano dust.
Okay, hold on a thought here. Back in a minute, we got two other callers back with you in a minute. Stay tuned. Well, we're back again here. We've got Dr. Judy Wood on the thing, and you can correct my logic here, but clean it up. But if I understand you correctly, the dustification of these buildings contains the elements that one could conclude were thermite. Is that correct?
The thermitic material. Thermitic material is aluminum dust and iron oxide. If you turn steel into, you know, dustify it, you're going to have iron particles, and they immediately rust in atmospheric conditions. So you have a steel frame building with aluminum cladding turning to dust. You have aluminum dust and iron oxide.
Okay, so had thermite been used, would you see the same type of material in the dust?
I think you wouldn't have dust. You'd have a block of blob of, you know, something that had been melted.
Okay.
And it would take an enormous amount of heat. You'd have Lower Manhattan would be glowing red in order to disintegrate the building.
Okay. So we can put that to rest too. That didn't happen either then.
No, it's kind of silly to even think about it, because how do you time it? And then it doesn't match any of the evidence.
Yeah, and the thing again is, how do any of these things turn a building that is made out of steel and concrete into something that's dust that looks like water? I mean, it's in the air like it's just water. It's just like somebody slammed a hand in a bowl of water or something, and it's just, does not make sense.
Dustification. We definitely need a new word in the dictionary, because this is a new phenomenon.
Okay, I would agree. Keith in Indiana, you have a question or comment for Dr. Wood?
Yeah, a couple quick questions for Dr. Wood. I appreciate the show, too. What does Dr. Wood think? What do you think about the initial damage to the building, the alleged explosions in the basement and the upper floors? I mean, is this something separate than the directive energy that powderized it?
I think it was an ongoing process that lasted for, at least an hour and a half. The field was active for, it wasn't just a brief moment. Well, for example, Building 7, I believe, disintegrated all afternoon. And as we saw these fumes pouring out the south face, I think that was building material pouring out till there was nothing left. So there was nothing left to crash to the ground.
Okay, I thought, Building 7 looked like classic controlled demolition, where the middle of the roof caved in first and then it fell straight down. But are you saying that was ongoing for about 5 hours and then just powderized?
Did you realize that the seismic signal for Building 7 was no more than a jackhammer? It was virtually indistinguishable from background noise.
Mm.
And you have 47 floors that are each the size of a football field. It should have sounded like raining dump trucks.
Mm-hmm.
But it was silent.
But weren't there initial fires in the building as reported, or was that all fake too?
There could have been a fire here and there, but there was this weird, I call it Cheeto fires. It's a Cheeto as an orange glow. It's just my generic term for this weird phenomena that's the luminescence without heat. There was evidence of that. There could have been also some conventional fires, but, not much.
I see. Well, I'll tell you one thing I do disagree. I think figuring out how to do it is much more complicated than who did it. Have you seen the video Missing Links?
I didn't hear you. Pardon me?
I said, have you seen the video on YouTube called Missing Links?
No, I haven't.
I think you'll be very interested if you do have any interest in who did it, because I'll tell you, Henry Ford wrote a book that he published and he put in the back of every Model T called The International Jew. This was research with millions of his own money in Europe with good researchers, and nothing's changed to the day. I mean, the Mossad, everybody, they're operating with impunity. They do everything, even that recent hit. They do it very
smart. Well, we're having trouble hearing you, Keith, but thanks for calling for your question. Shelton in Tucson. You're next. Sheldon and Tucson, are you there? Can't hear you, Sheldon. Are you there?
Are you still with me?
Yes. Sheldon, are you there? Well, I guess not. We can't hear him, or we've got some sort of a problem, technical problem or something here. When I watched Building 7 go down, it went down totally different. It actually, to me, looked like a controlled demolition, because it went down and kind of caved in the middle. It didn't exhibit the same type of dustification stuff initially that the towers did. Do you have any comment on that?
I see a lot more similarities, except that, you know, the towers turn into to powder from the top down, and the other one turned into powder from the bottom up.
Oh, so you're saying once it got down, then it started this dustification process.
No, it dustified for the 7 hours beforehand. All the stuff you saw blowing out the south face of the building,
uh-huh.
It was an awful lot of mass. It was just, it was opaque, you know, solid stuff that was pouring out of the building.
So you're saying before the building actually came down, dustification was coming out of the building?
Oh yeah, for the whole all afternoon.
Oh, I wasn't aware. Golly, where have I been all my life?
they claimed it was on fire, but no, that was you didn't see flames. You just saw this, you know, what appeared to be like smoke. You know, solid fumes just pouring out of the entire...
You're listening to...
Well, we're back after a break here, and I have Dr. Judy Wood on talking about 911, giving evidence. What a novel idea. instead of something, and she's highly qualified in the area of physics with all of the issues of metal and things coming apart. Pieces and dustification, and she just sent me a thing here, Building 7, with this this dust coming out the side. I don't think I've ever seen that picture.
It's
coming down.
It's on the WTC page, on the Cliff Notes page.
Uh-huh.
It's right above the weather section. At the index at the top, if you click on the weather section, or you go to the very bottom and can scroll up just above the weather section. It's the bottom of the Hutchison section. You can see that picture. It's figure 166.
So now Hutchison has actually, he's demonstrated levitation, and he's also demonstrated dustification to some degree?
Yes. There's some pictures. If you look through the Hutchison section, you can see a lot of his samples that are just really weird. you know, things peeling apart, and we had some of the vehicles that were toasted look like the metal delaminated when it's not laminated material, but it peeled at the split thickness and peeled open, and John has duplicated that effect as well.
Is this being taught in any colleges?
Oh, no. do you remember seeing Tesla in your... high school physics book?
You know, I really don't remember, and I really like physics, but I don't remember Tesla being there other than mentioned some of the Tesla coil and some of those things, but beyond that, no, I don't.
I don't even remember that being mentioned, or that he's credited with alternating current.
Isn't that amazing?
It is truly amazing.
It's just, you know, I think of benighted... cognitive dissonance. there's no pure thought, and it's all we're operating in the dark. I mean, the truth has no relevance today, and how they proffer these myths and give them credibility. I mean, they pick it up, and it's just, I don't know. It just shocks the conscience, I guess. I don't know what else to say.
I grew up without a television, and, I've kind of grew up in my own world, and I kind of like that. I think that's what has enabled me to see things that most people don't see, because I'm not trained a particular pattern to follow.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've always been an individualist myself, and I got very little TV because I was working with my dad, and I don't even have a working TV in my house for years because I figure it's a waste of time.
My college roommate had a poster on our dorm room wall that I think is just marvelous. A lot of people will find it familiar. It says, "See the world as a child sees it, with wonder and with hope." And I think it's beautiful. If we can all return to that innocent childhood and just look, not at what we've been told to think of things, but look at them anew, like a child would look at something.
Mm-hmm. That's a great idea to actually discover and say, well, what am I learning here? You know, what's to be learned? This is bad. How can I explain this to learn? be prepositioned with some opinion and then try to fit what happened to what I to get to, which is absolutely ass backwards, is to draw a conclusion and then try to make it fit into that.
Right, and then we pick the data that supports the conclusion. And
yes.
Keep in mind, I didn't know about Hutchison before I started looking into this.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know about that energy weapons existed. I just had never looked at those things before. But looking at the evidence told me that energy weapons did exist. My background is in interferometry. That's my area of expertise. Interfering two or more beams. I've mainly done optical interference. But what I saw reminded me of what can only be explained by an interference of some type of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And that is indeed what it is.
Are there any other, let's say, people of your caliber, that of your intellectual capabilities, that are involved in this or assisting? Or have you been kind of shunned because of what you've done?
Pretty much shunned, because it takes an awful lot to get into it, to look at it, and everyone's in a hurry. And you know, they don't want to also stray from the herd. And
yep,
if people say, well, who else backs you, so therefore you're wrong. But truth is not a popularity contest.
But this is just absolutely mind-boggling technology, and stretches the intellectual capability to even give it into a concept and then try to get it down to where we can understand it. I mean, this is beyond, I don't know, it's just astounding.
It's like when somebody criticized me and say, well, you haven't even done calculations of how much energy is required. I said, well, what are the calculations for? To prove that the building is still there or that it's gone? Just
mm-hmm.
Look, the building's gone. Obviously, there's enough energy of whatever form was used. Let's go with the observation of empirical evidence. Because it can't be wrong.
Yeah, where did the building go when all the pictures were taken on the ground? Where did that material go?
If you probably don't realize that the news stories that day, there's one with George Stephanopoulos trying to rationalize where the material went, and he can't explain it. But by the following day, they had their stories, figured out and fixed. But that afternoon, they're trying to figure out where's the building? Where'd the building go?
So they've already validated the fact that the building material is missing.
Right. They didn't understand it either. And you can see that in the pictures. They have the first people coming out of their hiding places right after the building went away. They're looking, you can imagine their jaws hanging open. They're just in shock. Like, wait, there's supposed to be a building there. Where'd it go? Am I in the Twilight Zone?
Mm-hmm.
What's going on here? They just don't know what to, see before them.
Well, I looked at the pictures of the plane, and I didn't realize that airplanes were made that stout, that they could just go in through steel and do what they did to those buildings. I mean, that is, I'm not even sure that those are really airplanes or anything anymore. I don't know. I don't know what to believe.
I believe that people saw something. But beyond that, I do know enough about optical work and, holography to know that there's various, and I don't mean necessarily in the holography in the sense that most people think of it as, but there's different things you can do with light to, make something appear. Well, here's an example. If they wanted to do a projected image, we're speculating now, we're just hypothesizing, if they want to do a projected image, that's something that everybody can understand the technology of. If you want to talk about, really low cost cutter version of it, I think most people have seen a laser light show.
Uh-huh.
Imagine a laser light show and using a gas being emitted from a little capsule being shot through the air. Yeah, that's really low tech.
Uh-huh.
And you can bet they have much higher tech methods. There's an article in the Washington Post in 1999, something like When Seeing Isn't Believing. You may remember the article talked about voice morphing and how they morphed something that Colin Powell would never have said, like, my captors are taking good care of me.
Uh-huh. Okay.
To demonstrate that it's voice morphing. Well, they, at the same in the same article, they talked about in Desert Storm in 1990, they were going to project a big image of Allah over Baghdad to scare everybody.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about, you know, in 1990 of having thought about doing that. So already they've acknowledged the technology is available.
I got a question here. We've got two callers here. We want to get them in. But has this technology made any appearance of toasted cars or any of that in, like, Iraq or Afghanistan or any other place we've been?
Yeah, one car by itself doesn't necessarily prove it. But there are some things that just look really strange, like tires, front wheels and back wheels intact, but the middle of the car missing. Just gone. That was a picture I saw in Iraq.
That's pretty astounding. We got Bax in Idaho. You're back. You got a question or comment here? We got another caller or two. Go ahead.
Yes, bless you. I'm so honored to even be able to tell you how much we appreciate all your efforts for the Republic, Mr. Wetterout. But I just wanted to laud your scientific advisory team there and their due diligence and observational skills, and to the point of being able to make it a note of comment. But I was trying to get you possibly to peek at Sandia technology, engineering, and science accomplishments. You have the old index on the National Sandia Labs, or ARPA, DARPA Energy. Hello?
I didn't quite understand that.
I didn't need it.
Year 93 for Sandia technology and engineering science out of the National Labs. There's an article in it on page 10 on diamond coatings, hardest substance can be manufactured with chemical vapors. I was wondering if on your site you possibly mentioned if there are the antenna distant shots that appeared that it was harmonizing, vibrating in a fashion. Was there actual footage of that?
Don't know what you're referring
the
to.
The recurrency of the antenna on the top of the building. There were several helicopters moving in the area during those times, but I was wondering if there was any NASA mapping of any of the specific vehicles or satellites. You describe an entire ground.
Yeah, okay, we got a couple other calls. I don't think she's familiar with what you're asking. It may be a good question, but Dr. Wood doesn't seem familiar with what you're asking. And we got very limited time. You've got to get a couple more callers in. So thanks for calling. Larry in Georgia. Are you there, Larry?
I just wanted to make a statement.
Okay, go ahead.
There were three buildings that fell during 9/11. It was a 42-story building. And Bush's brother, Marvin, was on the Board of Security, and supposedly he painted on the explosives in the building. And the person that owned the Twin Towers in a 42-story building collected $6 billion, and also he took out terrorist insurance 6 months before the building fell.
I'm only interested in physical evidence.
I understand.
And I'm just looking at it from that point of view.
Right, yeah. This shows us basically about the physical evidence that Dr. Judy Wood has done, not about some of the financial aspects in that.
Well, Jesse Ventura also had a program stating that supposedly the explosives were painted on inside the building.
That's silly.
Yeah, that's not going to work. Thanks for calling. Kevin in Australia, you got a question for Dr. Wood? Hello, Kevin? Kevin, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Hey.
Yeah, Kevin?
Yeah, hi.
Yeah, you have a question or comment for Dr. Wood?
Yeah, Dr. Wood, I visited your website and I enjoy the material you've got on there. I'm actually a mechanical engineer. I've worked in our mining industry in Australia. One of my specialties is blowing things up, so to speak. So we're talking about 1 million tons of earth or 500,000 tons of earth or whatever the case may be. When I saw those buildings in inverted commas come down, fall down, but they didn't actually fall down, they were, I could see the pressure wave starting at the top and coming down at the speed of gravity. I enjoyed your website very much with regards to your presentation on the billiard balls and the timing of the balls in relation to the time that it took for the building to come down or the tower buildings.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's a good sight. Like I say, I'm very sympathetic to the way you look at things. I've just got, there's one little thing that I sort of just can't quite get my mind around when we're talking about alternate forms of energy. Now, the US have got a Boeing 747, which is designed to shoot down, you know, incoming missiles. It's some kind of a laser weapon. Obviously, they've got a huge generating capacity on board that plane. It's probably most of the inside of the aircraft is probably generator. And then you've got, you must have a huge bank of capacitors to store the energy, and then bang, they let it go.
Yeah, you're talking about the airborne laser, and that's a laser weapon.
Yeah, I'm talking about a different type of energy. Yeah, okay. But to actually, you know, blow the buildings to smithereens, when I say blow them, you can see it was like a pressure wave coming down from the top down. That's what I saw, and it's just purely and simply what I saw. If there was some kind of, you know, let's say a satellite in space pointing down and directing energy down, when we send up communication satellites, they get their electricity, they store their energy, they've got solar panels that they fold out, and that's where they get their energy. So satellites are always starving for energy. You can't get enough power to drive the things. The Russians are talking about sending, you know, somebody to Mars to do an exploration around Mars. Now, the rocket fuel required to get them there is almost impossible to carry, so they've got to come up with some new engine, which what they're talking about is a nuclear powered engine where they can generate the thrust and push the thing forward. My only thing with you know, some kind of outer space weapon is, where does the energy come from to turn that into a beam to then direct it at the building and then it just basically melt it from the top down?
Why don't we let Dr. Wood answer that question, okay, because that's really okay. The Hutchison effect there. That's your question. Thanks
exactly.
For calling.
It's not like a laser beam from space. I don't know where this thing is located. There's been a lot of disinformation that, you know, Judy Wood says it's a ray beam from outer space. No, I've never specified where it's from. I'm just, you know, looking at the evidence. And the evidence, there's evidence of field effects. There's evidence of all sorts of things, around ground zero. That's, I know. I don't know where they have, you know, what stationed where and what generated it. And I do know that John Hutchison.
Well, we're back from break here, and I'm really honored to have Dr. Judy Wood on with Real Evidence. And Dr. Wood, if you would give out how people can get a hold of you want, and also if you want to address, you've got a book that's going to be published. And the floor is yours for a little over 3 minutes to closing.
Well, thanks. I encourage everyone to look at the evidence and see what your eyes tell you, not what people tell you to see. And that's why I present such an abundance of information, is because I want to empower each individual person to think for themselves. Because we got to the situation we were in because people were turning over their thinking to someone else. My book is soon to come out. There's a link to it on Amazon.com. It's on my website, but I'll make it more pronounced as things come along. It's entitled, Where Did the Towers Go? And that's a pretty good question. Because
great question.
That's what it all comes down to. Where did the towers go? They went away.
Yes.
I used to say, once upon a time, there were two tall buildings, and then one day they went away.
I look at that picture for your book that you've got, and I think that's the most astounding photograph of all of it. This stuff is, it's just bubbling up just like it's water. And where did it go? Go ahead.
It just poured out, like it went up also in the upper atmosphere. It went all down the eastern seaboard, just a variety of places.
I just find it astounding. Go ahead.
No, that's that's the basic thing is you look at the pictures and you think for yourself, not what people tell you to think, but just look at the pictures yourself, and the answers become quite clear. For example, drjudywood.com/WTC, or from my homepage, drjudywood.com, and it's called Cliff Notes, the link is. And there's a variety of all sorts of pictures on there, different categories that you can compare to. If folks would like to email me, my email address is on the bio page, but also it's Lisa Judy, 2 four-letter words, back to back, lisajudy@nctv.com.
Right. Absolutely. Astounding information, Dr. Wood. I really want to thank you for coming on the show today to give us evidence. Again, what a novel idea. Not a bunch of conclusion stuff, but actual evidence so we can hopefully engage our brain and gain some knowledge and engage the logic and see that what we're being told in the media and these DVDs that are out there and all of that report junk that they supposedly did, it's a bunch of nonsense.
Yeah, just use it or lose it, your brain.
Absolutely. And if we can't pass it through, you can't have liberty if you don't engage logic and common sense. And, you know, you just made a great point. We need to look at the evidence, and you provided a voluminous amount of evidence. It's, and you've went to court to prove your point, and the fix is in. Nobody wants to talk about it. And then all of a sudden ABC says, wow, look at the pictures we just found. Now that Dr. Judy Wood's case is over.
Yeah, and before the book comes out that has all those pictures in it.
Yes, isn't that amazing?
Quite a coincidence.
I find it absolutely astounding. Well, I really do want to thank you for being on my show and sharing it with us. And when your book comes available, please let me know, and we'll get that out so people can... have you ever made any DVDs yet with this?
No, I haven't. Andrew Johnson has gotten clips from my various presentations and put them on DVDs. Mm-hmm. And if someone would like to order one of those that at cost or less, from my homepage you can see where to click on it. This little DVD icon. And I'll take you to Andrew's page to order whatever you'd like.
Sure.
But no regular full-length DVD type thing.
Okay. Well, great. Well, I really want to thank you for being on my show, and I'm very, very honored to have you come on and give us evidence again and tell me it ain't so, Bubba.